And we are back.
Hello.
We're like the Lord of the Rings movie that comes out every 2 years. And, you know, we're like, hey, we go and then we come back again. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Standby podcast. We're back. Well, the thing is that we took a break because it's not because we didn't like you guys.
Yeah, we were just on the road a lot.
And we just had to make money, you know what I mean? I mean, that's how we do as, you know, we're professional stand-ups. And that's how you make money. You go on the road and you travel. And especially JJ, because you were you went out of the country.
Very different and you time went for, like, zones, too. The time zones changed so much.
Yeah.
That it's literally like when I would talk to you, it's like late at night.
I know.
You're just starting your day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, like a lot of times when we started talking, I was usually about to go on stage.
Exactly.
Which is weird for you because you're like, I'm about to have my lunch.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I'm about to do
you
a
go
show.
Up.
And then.
And also, you were gone for like a month. I thought you were like leaving because, you know, like maybe like you were like committed a crime here and like you left. Because it was, you went for like, what is it, like a month and a half, 2 months?
It was, two months.
2 months.
It was, just under 2 months, which was, I mean, you know, that's kind of what you got to do for, if you're going to go abroad.
Well, that's the point. Like, you're going to,
money.
Because you got to do, so how does that, because yeah, that's, I don't know that much about performing.
Well, I would say in layman's terms, I'd say it takes a week and a half to work off the flight, the cost of the flight, right?
Okay.
Week and a half for the cost of the flight, maybe another week and a half of work for all the accommodation and extra expenses that you're going to incur. So, so you're at 3 weeks there.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and then you gotta have a couple weekends to make a profit.
And
bring your ass home.
So,
2 months. I mean, I did three.
And you were all over England, right? Basically?
England, Scotland.
Oh, and Scotland, yeah.
And Ireland, yeah.
So all the UK.
The UK and a little bit Ireland.
Got it.
And then, but that's basically the gist. Because I did 3 months plus Edinburgh, actually. So I guess that was 4 months in 2019.
Wow.
Three months in Edinburgh, and that was too much.
That's too much.
I was just...
Like, you were gonna get exhausted.
I was broken.
Yeah.
And then I was almost broken at the end of this one. But
oh,
two
really?
Months is it's a pretty good...
What do you mean broken in terms of, like, I don't want to perform anymore? Or, I want to go back home or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, you're just exhausted and you need... You know, you need your own bed.
Yeah.
So
where were you sleeping?
Well, most of the gigs are hotels.
Okay.
But in London, I stayed with Tiffany Stevenson.
Yeah.
And her fiance,
we had her in the podcast.
Paul Bertolotti, who's also a comedy director.
Was he cool with you, like, staying there?
Paul and I are old friends as well.
But
like,
who's
Paul's been in the industry for 20 years.
Who are you friends with? Tiffany or the husband?
Both of them.
Both
I would say.
Okay.
Well, we were Tiffany and Paul. We all lived in the same area of London,
got it.
We were all kind of came up together in the early 2000s
on the British comedy circuit.
So we're all friends. I did a short film in 2007, and Paul Bertolotti, her now fiance, was my stunt double.
He
and I, he and I actually looked a lot alike in around 2007.
What was the stunt? First of all, it's a short film, and you're having a stunt double. What kind of short film is this?
The stunt was me fighting myself in the woods.
You were fighting yourself?
Fighting myself.
So you were doing a ripoff of a Fight Club?
That's a complete ripoff of Fight Club. I'll go with that. That makes enough sense.
So it was you
comedy, very
so
comedy.
So it wasn't a stunt double. You were fighting him.
Yeah, I was fighting him.
I mean, you,
him.
But he's supposed to be you.
He was my body double then.
Got it.
Body double because...
Got it.
One of us was dressed as the bad guy, like a stereotypical. One of us was dressed as a Superman.
Uh huh.
So it was good guy versus bad guy.
Got it.
Both clearly me.
So is this where is this movie? Is this movie was successful?
So okay.
The fact that
you never know what direction we're gonna go in, do you? But
the way that you describe it, you're like, I don't know.
It's a short film. So it was a short film that I used as an intro to my, I think it was my 2000 and...
Oh, to a special.
To my, in like 2009, in my Edinburgh show.
Oh, okay.
So while everybody was sitting down.
Oh, got it.
I'm going to tell you this whole thing now, but basically, I also played a damsel in distress.
Oh, wow. What was this? So what was the whole point of the short story?
Well,
of the short film?
So there's a damsel in distress outside a comedy club.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the tickets in her hand.
So you're wearing a wig? You're playing
I was in a wig with a lollipop.
Got it.
With tickets.
Yeah. I feel like that's every comic's like passage of ritual to play a woman once in a. He like I did that too, like early on for sketches.
You know, it's a tradition, isn't it? Shakespeare, yeah, I think so. Kids in the Hall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everybody else, everybody does it. Saturday Night Live, didn't they?
That's what I mean.
Chris Farley, like, Adam Sandler, they had that sketch as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's been around, and of course, Kids in the Hall for me growing up in Canada, comedy. Yeah. But that's neither here nor there. It was really straightforward. The tickets get stolen by a bad guy, and then the superhero guy shows up, chases after the bad guy. We filmed it in North London. Eventually, I catch the bad guy in the woods, and we have fisticuffs, you know, and I get the tickets, and I return them to the damsel in distress.
Got it.
And then she doesn't offer me the spare ticket, so the good guy storms off, like loses the battle, and then the damsel in distress, I think, walks into the comedy show,
and that's where
the lights would come down at my show, I'd be welcome to the stage.
Got
and it. I came out dressed as the burglar. I would come out as the bad guy.
Got it.
And then the first 2 minutes, I'd be like the old switcheroo. It was me all along, kind of thing.
All right.
Oh yeah, it was
interesting.
Riveting. So anyway, that was a long way to answer your question of like.
Yeah.
So that's who I stayed with in London.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really tour another country profitably without the kindness of friends.
Unless you're in a big tour, you know, something. But if you're gonna lose money if you're spending on hotels every night, right?
Yeah, man. Because nights off are the killers for comedians, because we can't, especially so in London. Because in London, no comedy clubs in London give you accommodation anyway.
Oh, they don't?
No, like. I don't think LA does either, right? If you're gigging in LA.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, no, of course. Yeah,
a lot of LA clubs don't even pay.
Yeah. New York or comedy clubs, they don't like, or even like, yeah, if you're not like headlining shows, they don't give you like a hotel room or something like that.
So although everywhere else, so Birmingham, Cardiff,
got it,
Glasgow, you know, they all give you hotels.
Yeah.
But on your nights off, you got to go stay with friends. Mm-hmm. But I needed that anyway. I hadn't seen a lot of people since before the pandemic. So I did. I spent time with my good friends like Nick Duty and Christy Newton, who are both in the industry. And they live in a place called Hemded Bridge, which is up like northeast England.
Okay.
Little sleepy village.
By the way, this fly is annoying me. Like, there's a fly right here. And this is what annoys me about flies. Like, well, not annoys me. I mean, I respect flies because flies, they really don't give a shit. Like, they just come in. You know what I mean? They've
only got a day on the planet.
Wait, is that what it is?
So they just got to, they're only alive.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Our man in the booth, Tony, was very funny before we started, because he's like, there's a fly. Like, the fly's obviously pissing him off.
That's right.
So this same fly has been around all day, and he's like, let's keep track of the fly. And as soon as we get it out of the room, then we'll close the door. And now we've given in.
Maybe Tony's the one that brought the fly. You know, maybe it's his pet fly or something. I don't know. By the way, we do have to say it's also a new, I guess, part of the podcast. Bobby Ulrich is...
Hello, Bobby, in the booth.
He's in the booth. I mean, right now we don't have a mic connected, but eventually he'll be able to talk to us and tell us stuff. But he's going to be helping us with the podcast as well.
He's a new comic. Harassing us from the booth.
Yeah. We want them to both be, you know, give us a... You know, I guess correct our mistakes, you know, pretty much, you know, a lot of like Google answers and be like, hey, this is not wacky.
In real time. That'll be great when we get to that point where we're just corrected in real time, just up on the screen.
Yeah.
What they're currently talking about, flies don't live for 24 hours. Yeah. It's 2 days.
I don't know. Is that true? Like, flies live like pretty short?
I think, look, they're already, now they're Googling it. I think it's a day.
Yeah.
I don't know. This dude's just going for it.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It impresses me. Flies are very also like they just don't care. It doesn't matter. It could be anywhere. It could be the richest place, and there's gonna be a fly. 48 days, 28.
28.
Oh wow! What did you say? That's a lot.
Shitloads. That's way more than I thought.
That's a lot.
That's a ton.
28.
yeah. Holy cow. 28 days. Well, that changes my whole perspective on things. I usually just, if I see a fly around in my house or whatever, I just go, it'll be there for like
28 days.
Yeah, but now I'm like, I better get rid of that little shit.
Of course.
It's going to be around for 28 days.
Yeah.
Wow, how wrong was I?
See, now you get the idea of the joke.
Fact check. in real time.
But I was good. So you were there. Yeah, you say like you were like last time you went to England was like 3 years ago, right? Like,
yeah.
Did you see any like changes? Obviously, because of the pandemic, I don't know if that things.
So,
but like,
yeah.
But just even like in terms of performing or just like, you know, like doing shows, was there different? Did you have time to get adjusted to it?
Yeah, I think so. I think. And you might find this too, but I think audiences are learning again how to like getting a really loose, loud, vibrant audience is more rare than it used to be. There's a lot more awkwardness and like
people
are still trying to discover how to let themselves go at a comedy club again
I shouldn't be laughing at this because people are gonna think I'm crazy if I laugh at this joke or whatever and then like,
which I mean people at home might not know this, comedians understand this. I mean, I guess performers would all understand that the time that it takes sometimes for a group or an audience, like friends in an audience, when they do look at each other, when they do that, that can be detrimental to the performance. Mm. Like, because that, just even a glance at your friend of like, do you find this funny like I do?
Yeah.
It takes the focus off the show and it does kind of change everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I did find a lot of the audiences, not every audience.
Yeah, yeah,
but sometimes it was like everybody's kind of new and they're looking around at each other.
It's kind of like it's like for the first time people are in an orgy. You're like, should I? Right? Yeah, it's like, hey, so who's gonna start? You know what I mean?
Like, not everybody's behaving like this fly. I'm gonna go everywhere. I'm doing all the things. I only got 28 days, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Like, if you're in an orgy, you want to be like a fly.
Yeah.
Because you're buzzing in and out of every room, man. You just don't care.
Try it all. Go everywhere. Don't worry. You got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything to live for.
So you want to be like Jeff Goldblum in an orgy. Because he played that fly, remember?
Oh, yes.
That movie, That Fly, remember?
Yeah, but would he have been the popular one at the orgy?
Not the way.
He was all fucked. Yeah, in Fly World, I'm sure, like, even the sluttiest female flies must have been going, no, thanks.
Yeah.
You don't want to give this a shot?
Like, that's actually funny. Like the Jeff Goldblum as a fly going into, like, the fly world, and flies are like, you're too weird, man.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to eat this shit on my own, thanks. Get away from me.
Yeah.
So I would say, to sum it up, that was, because I started the tour at a really rock and roll club, or what I remembered as a very rock and roll club, and it didn't feel very rock and roll right away. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's when I first noticed, oh, wow, the audience is really just looking at each other.
But you were like they were like sensitive?
Or a little bit sensitive, but just a little bit unsure of letting go.
I don't think
maybe that they are insensitive. I think that they are just haven't rediscovered that looseness.
Got it.
Again, yet.
Yeah.
And I think I was telling you when I realized that, just coming out of the pandemic and all that, I did start employing some old tricks.
Because
my first weekend, like I was saying, I was really looking forward to it. A very rock and roll club from what I remembered.
Yeah.
And it was very different all of a sudden. And even the manager told me they were selling tickets differently because coming out of the pandemic, they used to get these rock and roll audiences and stuff because there was different marketing for the shows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now coming out of the pandemic, they were trying to get their audience going again. So they were getting a lot of couples and that's what people were going out as too. Like, you're not getting groups of crazy friends. You were getting a lot of husbands and wives and stuff like that. So the dynamic was different.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I was telling you, it did make me reassess after my first week in Britain. I started going, oh, I gotta employ some old tricks.
Got it.
Which was
which we always have to as a comic. I think, like, you know, you always have to come, like, by old tricks you mean like old jokes or old bits, right?
I mean,
basically
old jokes,
like,
and
stuff
like
the stuff that you don't do anymore, and you're like, well, I gotta do this just to kind of get them going.
Yeah, and easy observations. And like, the British drinking culture, you know, or these asides of like, you bunch of drunks, and you don't need a 2-drink minimum here at your clubs, do you? Because you're not addicted to comedy, you're addicted to alcohol, loosen them up.
Yeah.
That you tell yourself maybe 10 years ago, okay, I'm done doing those.
Yeah.
And
I think that's what I realized too with comedy. Like, you never have to, you never retire bits until you get to a point where, like, I guess where you're like a Bill Burr kind of thing, like where well, then definitely you're retiring
There's
stuff.
No
but
way,
like, yeah. But when you're still not to that level, you still sometimes gotta pull those.
Yeah,
those classics, you know, just to be cause, like, because
what do you think? Like 5% of the audience knows who you are.
Of course, yeah,
maybe 10 out of
yeah, push. Like until I think that's a great problem to have. That you, if you go do a set, and then you do your set, and then people go like, everybody goes like, we all already heard of that man. Like everybody in the club, then you're like, oh, that's great. That's wow. That's pretty amazing. Like,
I guess I better move on.
Yes, I guess I gotta, you know, but. But until that happens, it's like it doesn't. Yeah. But and I
and that's it, why it comes and that's out like too, a catch because 20, you need to prove quickly that you can that do what you can do, and you're course. Like, oh yeah, this old joke that I used to do 15
exactly.
years ago sums it all up and does.
And it's
so
also
you
like
dust
a quick
it off.
Introduction to the audience of who you are as well, because like you know, for example, with me, like I always have to like quickly introduce where I am or why I have an accent, and just so people like just. No, and then they, because they're thinking, where is he from? You know, like, obviously, if they don't know me, that's what they're thinking, and they're not going to listen to anything else until I answer that question.
Yeah.
So I have to, like, sometimes do the stuff, you know, like, because it's like, yeah, people, you know, until they come see me and they know who I am, then that's another thing. But, like, but yeah, I think
that's
we always.
Right. It speeds it up. You break down that barrier right away.
Yeah, yeah,
and they
yeah.
go, oh, okay.
But we always have to do, I think that's the thing that I learned not to. I guess you can never retire bits. And then also sometimes people, I've gotten where people actually want me to do an old bit.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, can you, you know, and I'm like, well, I don't do that anymore. You know, so it's like, they want to bring the classics, you know, back to it. So it's like, which is so funny because it's like with comedy, it's like the opposite. You always want new stuff. And with music, you always want the classics. Like you never want, like when people like bands, when they bring their new songs, they were like, yeah, okay, go back to the go to the old stuff.
That's the biggest difference, isn't
yeah,
it?
The no, huge difference,
nobody's
yeah.
nobody's like, and then he did his new jokes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. We wanted to listen to the one that we know what's coming. We know the punchline, man.
Yeah.
Give us the punchline that we want.
Yeah, they're not hitting the dance floor.
But I think that also actually shows that if you have a good bed, when people still want to hear it, even though it's coming, kind of like seeing a movie that a comic movie that you know that you've seen it a million times, but you still want to see it because it's funny. You know what I mean? So that's actually a good like a good, you know, I guess compliment to your bit. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, if they're that big,
if they still want to hear, knowing that it's like, all right, we know what's coming. You know what I mean?
You always have to weigh that up against the 90% of the audience that have never seen you.
Never seen
and then
you
got that one. If you do get one keen super fan, like all right, don't.
That's true. Yeah.
Don't like offset.
And it's always because when you're performing, you're like you do it, and then when you do that new old bit.
Yeah.
You kind of like see on the side to the, like of that fan that you already know this there. It's like you're like hey, you want to go like let me just do this one so they know me, man. But like I got more new stuff. Like you want to prove to I get some new stuff too, man.
Or do you have that thought in the back of your head where you're like stop laughing so hard? Because they're taking everybody out of it. But you can't say that.
No,
if you
not
say
of course.
That, you lose them and you lose the audience.
Of course.
So you just gotta keep going. All right, you're really laughing loud.
Yeah.
There, you're kind of taking everybody.
And it's hard to tell people not laugh loud. Like that's what we want.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But I get it because that's also like I guess like when you're like if you're having sex with somebody and there's. Screaming.
And they're laughing at you.
they're laughing.
Yeah, like, all right, can you ease up on the laughter? This is I'm not working right now.
Just be serious. This is serious stuff right now. No, but also I think when you're having sex, I'm like, and somebody screams too much,
right?
You know, or like where you go, like, okay, wait. I mean, like, there's neighbors here. Like, take it down. I like it, but it's like. Come on, like it's a little too much, you know. Like, just give me a down decibel.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's funny. You just gave me a flashback. I had a girl, my long-term girlfriend, many years ago. We've been dating for a long time. We watched porn together. We started watching porn together. And
so, how does that work? They're watching porn together.
I don't. Well, I don't. She was watching porn before. She started dating me, so it wasn't a difficult
transition. No, but like, I'm talking about, like, are you, like, Like, are you in the sofa having popcorn watching porn, or like, is that like
sometimes and sometimes in bed?
Sometimes you have popcorn. Wow!
Make the pop. Yeah, you know, you got to watch the full narrative.
Yeah. I don't care
how
about
else
the narrative.
Are you going to know what happens to the lonely house lady?
Yeah,
you have to know if the plumber ever actually fixes the toilet.
That's the thing. Yeah, I have a bit about the delivery package. He's like, is it delivery made?
There you go.
When they're just fucking? Like, yeah. Come on. Like, what happened?
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed this, honey, but she didn't even sign for that package. That's crazy. I didn't hear a beep or nothing. He should be fired. But all I was going to say was I do remember one time we started watching. So we were watching porn together. And then... But then I think she started trying to act a little too porn-esque in bed.
All right. Okay. Like, oh, and, like doing the fake.
Yeah,
like
just
the
going
too much.
Like over the top.
Got it.
And I remember being like, babe, we've been having sex for 3 years. and I just have to admit to you, like, I like that we're kind of trying to juice up the relationship
by
watching porn and having sex in different ways. But you don't need to start acting. I can't believe it because I've known.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I know, like, yeah. Like,
I've known fucking you for 3 years.
Also,
I
like, you'd be like,
not...
you should be like, hey, I'm doing the same moves.
Yeah.
Like, nothing's changing here. So, like, what, you were just, like, holding that in?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a dangerous spiral, though, too, because then she's like, well, why?
You didn't like it?
You
yeah.
like watching the girls that do that in the porn movie.
But that's different.
Yeah, but that's because they're different.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oops.
Oh, no, yeah, you cannot say that. But it's but it's also like, I mean, it is, I mean, like, you cannot compare, you know, porn actors and actresses to yourself. I mean, they're professional, you know, actors, you know, like they, you know, they can't just.
Again, very hard thing to discuss with your significant other. Baby, you can't compare these porn actors and actresses to you.
I mean,
you know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why
I
guess...
You're the one I eat popcorn with.
Yeah. I think that's why having watching porn together, so maybe not me. It might not be a good idea as a couple.
Oh, I think it is a good idea.
You think so?
Yeah, because you have discussions and you talk about your kinks and you can get turned on and there's all... It leads to great things. I just think... I think in the example I'm giving you, she thought maybe taking on the persona of certain opponents would help. And I was
got
like, oh,
it.
No, that's not what.
Got it. Like she was trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, and maybe that does help for some people. I mean, I imagine it helped the next guy after we broke up. I imagine if she took that attitude to whoever the next guy was,
I bet
you he was like, wow, you're a fucking, all right, let's do some more of that.
But did you break up because of that?
No, not at all.
Oh, got it. Yeah. It wasn't because of that porn.
It wasn't a sex thing. It was a typical comedian not home enough thing.
Oh, got it. You were in England for 2.5 months?
I was,
like, you left me and the podcast?
Well, in all honesty, I was in Australia at the time, and that Icelandic volcano happened. Do you remember the Efekjökull? The Icelandic volcano, it erupted. So this is like at least 10 years
That's
ago.
That's such a, like a, it's like a real excuse, but such a, also like a lie that a guy would do. Babe, I can't, I want to go home, but like the volcano exploded. Babe, I mean, you know, and they're like, you know, I just can't leave the island for like a month.
It is hard to make that up, though. Yeah. It is on the news.
No, true.
When it happens. But I like that you're like, no way, you can totally get away with this.
Yeah. No, because I feel like that's a guy would do that. He's like, come on, babe. He's like, and he's like in Hawaii or something.
No flights going. I mean, what we'd use, if you were here in California, you'd say it's because it's too hot. They've canceled everything.
No, an earthquake.
It's too hot.
Something.
I can't get home.
Yeah.
But see, earthquakes, Googleable.
No, true.
So these are all.
No, but it's also a good excuse for you not to go because you're showing that it's happened.
Yeah.
So maybe the flights are like, it's like, maybe it's like, was like a mini volcano.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a little thing and you made it a scene to be like, whoa.
Well, I don't know if I've told you before, but so this same relationship. And I did eventually come back to England. And then we went, I had some gigs like in the south of France for a week. Mm-hmm. She came with me and then we broke up after that. And it was because it took me an extra month to come home because of this Icelandic volcano, which is a true story. If anybody doesn't remember an Icelandic volcano, you can fucking Google it. Yeah. But I don't know if I told you this, but the big mistake I made was when I was in Sydney and I was like FaceTiming her and she's like, why can't you come home? And I said, the volcano, they've canceled everything. You can't get to the Northern Hemisphere. And I said, but don't worry, babe. I'm having a lot of fun. Which is the stupidest thing to say.
Nah, you never do that. Yeah. Is that what she, because of that? Because she was, you were having fun and she wasn't?
Oh, well, yeah, no, it just got really dramatic, and it was basically her family started telling her that this is what life with a comedian is like. Comedians, they'll never be home, and...
Got it.
But, you know, as we know, your career comes, has so many different phases.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I think it's definitely hard to be, but that's not just a comedian. That could just be an actor or a musician, you know, like, everybody that performs, that's kind of like the thing, so it's like...
Or anybody in the early days of their career that has to make a sacrifice.
Yeah, actually, of course.
I talked to like my a close friend who lives in Eastern Canada. She just started seeing a guy who's at the start of his police career, and he got a job in a different province. He's got to take that job
because
he's
to advance.
And I said to her, "Are you going to go with?" They've only been dating for like 3 months. Like that's really soon for you to go with him. She's like, "I'm not." We're going to see each other like every month and a half or so when he gets leave or when I get leave. And I'm like, that's the way it is. And either that'll work or it won't.
Of course.
But it's obviously he's at that point in his career. He's got to do those things.
So there's
sacrifice. Lots of different careers where you have to do that.
That's what you need to learn, Bobby, if you want to be in this business. This, what are you going to find, love of comedy or... well, it's actually that's
you gotta
the thing
learn
that
to be charming enough to go. I got work commitments.
Hey, I got volcano problems. No, actually, Mitzi Shore, the owner of the Comedy Store, I think she actually, I don't know if she said it or she liked actually comics that were single,
right?
You know, because they knew like it was a wave to. I mean, because they would just give everything to the.
Yeah,
the stand-up career, you know, but
it
is tough, especially in the beginning, man, because it's like you said, in the beginning when you're like trying to establish yourself and you got to do all this stuff, it's like, and then people don't understand it either. I mean, you know, people be like, "What you're doing? You're driving 2 hours to do a free gig? Like what? They just don't understand. They're like, but this is what I have to do to get better, you know, kind of thing. So like, so it's hard for like people to like. That not in the world, like, so I think it's either you gotta be with somebody that really understands that whole process, or just wait until you're like a little more established, and then you meet somebody, and then they already know what's going on.
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, now he makes money or she makes money, so it's like, well, I can, you know, that's what they do. You know what I mean?
That's the wild thing about like now that I'm based here, like I feel like I have more time now here because in my early career in Britain I was just going back and forth and working and here in America, I mean, even if when you have your time off in LA, the gigs are like, you know, they're in LA for a start and they're quick. It's a quick night out and you're back. You actually have lots of time to manage a relationship.
Yeah.
So it's quite a reversal because I haven't been, I have a lot less girlfriends since I've come to America because the attitude is different.
Yeah. Because now you gotta spend more time with them.
that's
your problem.
Maybe that's it. I have to spend more time with them now. So.
Maybe that's what's fucking up the whole thing.
It turns out I need the British system, and I just need her to be happy.
Maybe your relationships work when there's volcanoes erupting around the world.
Yeah.
That's the only time your relationships work. Yeah.
You gotta make them miss you. That's how I book gigs now. I'm like, what's the likelihood that I'll be stranded in your country?
Because I'm going out with this girl, and it's going well. So,
yeah.
Or maybe it's not going that well. I'm spending too much time with her. So can I, you know?
Yeah.
So you're taking like cruise gigs, you know, anything that can potentially be stranded.
Well, I love Ismo. You know Ismo, the Finnish.
Ismo.
Yeah.
Finland.
Have you heard his? Have you heard his joke about the pandemic? He's like, before the pandemic, my wife was complaining that I'm never around, and then the pandemic hit, and I was always around.
Yes.
And now I'm single.
Yes.
That is exactly.
Yeah.
That is well done, Ismo. Shout out to Ismo. It's a killer.
We should have Ismo here.
Oh, I'd love to have
him. He should be like the first, because. I think he's back. I know he was also doing like a He's from Finland. He was doing like a Finland tour.
I did mention to him when I
saw like him. I'll text him, man, because he'd be great. Because obviously, you know, he's very international, but he's so funny and like so smart. Yeah. And I really like him. He's a really cool dude.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, man, that was so like, I was also traveling as well.
Well, that's what I was about to say to you. Like, because as we were talking about how it's so important on your days off to hopefully, if you can visit friends and everything, and you can save money on those hotels and stuff. Was it the same thing for you hitting the East Coast of America? Did you have a lot of nights off where you had to improvise?
Because here are like, here everything's so, like, the dates here are very quick. You know, like, you get up, like, if I do a college gig, it's like literally like, I landed that, then the morning of, and then I do the show at night, and then I leave the next day. So, like, there's no, because I'm not, unless I'm going to places where I do have friends, then maybe I'll stay one more day or something like that, or a couple of days. But if that doesn't happen, then I'm going back, you know. So there's, and they're paying, you know, they're paying for the hotel and stuff like that. So it's kind of like, that makes it easier. But I did have, now that I'm doing, you know, there's sort of like clubs also with this, I'm performing co-headlining with Carlos Santos, and we're like, and it's cool to like have somebody there to because as you know, being a comic and touring is literally you're by yourself the whole time, you know, like, and you have to like, you know,
curb your suicidal thoughts and
I didn't wanna
eat alone.
I didn't want to. You took it really in the dark. It's like, I just want to kill. No, I mean, I was just going to say, like, entertain yourself, go eat by yourself. But you're like, you know, hopefully not hanging. No, it is. But it is tough because you're obviously you're by yourself and you got to do all this, you know. But so it's great when you're with somebody else because there's so much downtime that you're doing. Because even though I like to work on when I'm on the road, like instead of like working on my writing and stuff like that, that's still like, even if you write like a lot, that's like an hour and a half a day. Then the next day, what else are you doing? You know what I mean? And then waiting for the show to go. So I've been...
it also makes you, gives you an idea of what it'd be like to be in a band a little bit.
That's
to
true.
Have,
that's
to have
the band,
that camaraderie thing, inside jokes, something to keep you guys alive.
Exactly.
Like, you know, eating together.
Which is why I think it's like when you get to a certain level where you can bring comics, that's actually the cool thing. Like, I guess with Jim Jeffrey, you know, for example, like that, where like he can bring you or bring other people. Like, that's the cool thing. I mean, that's literally... I guess why I would do it is just like, let me bring my friends.
Remember Jeff Dye was telling us that he wakes his support acts up and makes them go to, you know, venues with him during the day. You don't get any rest.
Yeah, no, that's...
like, wake up. It's time to go visit Staples Center or whatever.
Yeah, because he definitely enjoys his time on the road. I mean, he's always like doing like activities and stuff like that, which is also like you got to find the people that you're like also kind of like have the same kind of like styles, because if you want somebody that's like, like the whole time doing, I'm like, I'm just want to kind of chill for a little bit or whatever, you know. But,
I had a heat wave in Britain, so everywhere I was,
there's been a heat wave now,
and we have a heat wave here now, but there was the heat wave in Britain.
But climate change is not real, everybody,
and
all these heat waves mean nothing,
But
I'm lying, of course.
Anyway, I was going to say, with the heat wave, basically every friend that I was hanging out with in Britain, it just basically involved us sitting in the heat, sometimes with beer, sometimes without beer, but just like, holy fuck, it's hot.
That was it.
Yeah, that's every, that was every visit.
Yeah. No, there was just recently, I just came from Tampa. I was there in Orlando, and over there, it's like heat, but also crazy humidity, like it's like swamp. But funny, like one thing, so in the Tampa Improv is at this place called Ybor City, which is like, it's like an old historical place where they would use, I guess a lot of like Cubans went there and they build these fabrics of like, to do like factories of Cubans, you know, of like cigars.
Okay.
So they did all that. So it's like, so if you walk around the little town, you know,
Where does Scarface take place?
Miami.
Miami.
Yeah. But, you know, but it's in Florida, you know.
That's the gist.
Just, you know, it's like four hours, five. Okay. I don't know how much. But what's interesting is like when you walk around Ybor City, there's chickens and roosters around the street, like squirrels. You know, like they're just
really
like nobody touches them. Like nobody says anything. They're just walking around like
just wild,
just wild
in bulk. You're saying
like literally like you see packs. one from here. I mean, and you see and you always see like the rooster with like two chickens and then another rooster with two chickens. Right. You know, they always have like their little like, you know, I guess families. I don't know. But like. Yeah. But that I was
they're
like
little gangs.
I was
gangs
like, this is like
chickens.
I was like. You know, I was like, this is like, what? Like, I mean, like, and because I was, when I was doing the show, I was like, you guys do this? This is normal? Just walk around a bunch of, like, he's like, oh, yeah, we don't, and nobody touches them. And if you do grab them, you know, you get arrested or something.
Right.
But I'm
they
like,
they have a right of way.
Yeah. But it was like, I was so like, I was like, you know, you would expect this, like, I don't know, like, you know, like the stereotypical thing that you think of, like, going to, like, a small, like, little country or little town you see. But, like, in Tampa,
yeah,
next to Busch Garden, you know, it's kind of like the land of Tom Brady, and there's roosters and chickens walking around. You know, that was very,
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it before a couple times. In Manchester, when I lived in Manchester, which is, you know, a big city.
Yeah.
We had
they just walk around there?
Chickens.
But is there like a farm nearby? Because this one, there's no farm. They're just like.
Yeah, no, they're just.
So they're just.
Living in the woods and stuff. And yeah.
Interesting. This is like, I didn't know chickens were so or roosters, like so like independent. I thought they needed to be like in a farm or something or they would get killed.
Yeah, well, I would have thought. In America, they'd have more predators because you can't do that here. There's no way you're not going to get random chickens running around in California because they're just snacks.
Yeah, they become El Pollo Loco.
that too.
That's actually how the Pollo Loco started.
Just wild chickens in the hills.
By the way, I went to see.
But I would have thought they'd have predators in Florida, but I guess.
I mean, not. I guess there's alligators.
I guess they're quicker than
alligators.
I don't know, but
I don't think they're hanging on. You know, they're not that dumb
enough. If anybody from Florida, write us and explain to us how chickens are able to survive.
But this is in Tampa. I don't know if it's like.
Okay.
I mean, I'm
you
just saying.
You don't know if it's all of Florida.
Yeah, I don't know if it's all Florida.
Okay. In Tampa, or yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have chickens? Do you have wild chickens, and how do they survive?
Yeah, I wonder, like, what? Yeah, because to me, that's very. By the way, I was gonna say, I also went. I went to a Monster Jam. You know this
Monster Trucks?
Monster Truck, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, like my nephew is into it, and then my brother-in-law
there
was
a younger boy involved. Is probably because I think my little nephew loves Monster. I think my brother.
Yeah. That was. I mean, it was all for little kids, you know. But because all my knowledge from Monster Jams came from The Simpsons, you know, kind of like Monster Jam, you know, like Rough Saturday, Friday, whatever.
Yeah.
That's a horrible impression.
Yeah.
But it was actually at the. Not now, the Crypto Arena, the Staples Center, you know. And
that's sticking, even with crypto
crashing.
Like
going down, they're going to have to.
Is crypto just going to do a one-year sponsorship? Yeah. Well, it looks like we were kind of wrong about this
and
thing.
They're like, we're back to the Office Depot Arena. It's like, it's like, but
Staples, can you come back, please?
but what was interesting, well, first of all, you go in there, and there are people selling the little, things to put in your ears, and I was like, it ain't gonna be that bad. And then we had like seats that were pretty close, and then when they start, it's like, and you're like, what the fuck? So you have to really. So if you ever go to a Monster Jam, you have to at least. So finally, they had like little things that we could get to, but what's funny too is like the names of the trucks, because they try to make it like wrestling, you know, like
isn't one of the famous ones the Undertaker, or is that
no? That's wrestling, man.
Yep. What is it? Gravedigger.
That's what I was getting. Yeah, that was right. That's what it was. The Gravedigger. Yeah.
He's been around.
Oh, so that's a thing? I didn't know that.
Yeah, the Gravedigger's been around since The Undertaker. Easily, right? Like, that's,
yeah, awesome. So one of them was the Gravedigger. Yeah. And then the other one was,
Gravediggers must be a legend.
So it was the Gravedigger. But then there was another, there was like the Latino one. And he was like, which is like, it was like, El Toro Loco. Which is like,
are you about to lay into?
No, because my thing is like, why does everything has to be loco? El Pollo Loco, El Toro Loco. It's like, is that what people think like Latinos are? Like everything is crazy. Like we're just fucking nuts. You know, it's like, just make it like, what do you call El Toro Worker? Or I mean, something like that. Like, I don't know. Like maybe that's more of a, like, I'll be like, okay, we work a lot, you know.
El Toro Family Man.
Yeah. El Toro, yeah. Something. I mean, El Toro Dancer, but it's like El Pollo, like sort of like the crazy, like why, like I mean, I wonder
what's wild in Spanish.
Wild, yeah, it could be local.
Okay, wait a minute. This might be the problem. Does everything? But what? So but again, crazy but why, is loco. Wild is loco. Okay. Think of all the ones in English.
No. Like, I get El Toro, but El Pollo. What the? Why do you want a crazy chicken? Shouldn't it be more like a sexy chicken, more like El Pollo, a sexy pollo or something like that. Like, wouldn't it be more like more appealing.
Something about the tone of the meat.
Exactly.
The crazier the meat.
But yeah, the way it's like, there was El Toro Loco, and then there was there was another one that was a very what was the name of that? I forgot it was. It was very like, here, I had it here. Sorry, let me just, I want to go back to like, here it is. Oh yeah. There was like, yeah, it was like, all the names were like Gravediggers, and then like, there was another one called Pro Abortion. I was like, whoa, this is like.
Are you?
No, not kidding. That's a bit. I wanted to try.
Pro-abortion. Was there pro-abortion loco?
Yeah. Pro-abortion loco.
Did you just have like an oversized coat hanger on each bumper?
Oh, man.
And then he rams the car. He's hooked it. He's hooked them.
Oh, man.
Okay, wait.
Wow. That's funny.
Might have got a bit loco there.
Yeah. But it's like, so basically the whole show, the whole thing is like, they're just, you know, like they have little, it's funny because they have different, like, so it's different competitions. One was like, who's fastest?
Yeah.
So it's like, one is the fast, but we couldn't even figure, like my mom, when we were like looking at each other, like who won? Like every time they did the race, we're like, cause it was just like in a circle and you couldn't tell like what was like the beginning or the end. And it's like, El Toro Loco won. And we're like, what? Like we never know. Like, and then the other things are like, they had to do like tricks. So like one was like lifting.
Doing like, wheelies or whatever. Then, like who can go on their side
exactly.
For the longest.
And then like a freestyle of like, which just to say, the Gravedigger one, because he actually is the one that did like a flip that was pretty cool.
Right.
Gravedigger. Yeah. And then like, obviously like.
I know that Gravedigger is the big fish.
I didn't know.
This is
my first time that I, you know.
Yeah.
And then they had.
I bet you if we looked it up, Gravedigger might predate The Undertaker. Yeah. But
again, I don't know.
I was going to ask you, is there an element of theater to it where you think, oh, he's having a night off? He's trying to, like, they want him to win today.
Yeah,
like, if you go to medieval games medieval knights or whatever, and they're doing the jousting. And sometimes I've watched the horses, the red team, the blue team.
Yeah.
And I can notice, and I'm like, ah, the blue guy is hungover. He's talked to his other riders. He's like, just spear me off. I want to hit the green room sit and have a beer. They must be doing the same thing.
Yeah, I think so too, because I feel like, obviously, I think it goes also from city to city, maybe they're like, because I know like they were pushing like El Toro Loco, like because they were like, come on, we're in LA, where are my Latinos at? You know, like, so he was like, they were pushing.
And he
that.
Won in the end?
No. Oh, okay. The Gravedigger won, so I don't know.
All right.
So yeah, I don't know if it's, I don't know. Do you guys know if this is like wrestling where like it's all premeditated or like do they actually. Compete.
I reckon it's going to be a little bit fixed, but on the things like who can go on the side of their wheels the longest, you can't fix that.
No, of course.
You got to
do the trick and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they also had like a bunch of like, they also had like motorcycles too, like doing like, you know, like, which was interesting because they had to bring their own like they had to set up their whole like where they land.
Yeah.
They were setting it up and then they had to take it out. Like it was like, cause kind of like a very like a stripper like move, like they were
special.
They would do the thing and then they're like, all right, now I gotta pick up my clothes. You know, like,
oh, okay.
So we just, because I was like, nobody else was helping them. It was actually the actual drivers setting up
Whoa,
this whole thing.
This sounds like an open spot. sounds like the guy who runs the show is like, yeah, I'll let you do it, but you gotta set
it
up.
It was a check spot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I haven't passed you
yet. Yeah. Like, it was like that.
I haven't.
You're not a regular yet, so you gotta.
Do you think I should take Gravedigger's job away? Do you think I should take all the people that are gonna help Gravedigger tonight?
But I'm also thinking maybe it was the. I could also see the guys going like, you know what? Let me do it because my life depends on this. You know what I mean? You don't want some guy from the crypto arena going like, I'm just getting paid $10 an hour, like trying to set up the thing where they're landing because this is where they jump and they
That's
land.
That's good enough.
Yeah, so they're like, nah, I'll do it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that'd be a fucking.
But it was funny to see that. But it was cool. I mean, my first time doing it, you know. Definitely, I don't know. It's not a thing that's.
If you had kids,
I guess because it was all kids. Yeah, I guess they like. And then at the end, my nephew was like, he wanted to buy a little, you know, the little toy, and he's like, "Which one do you want?" And he's like, "Gravedigger."
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, totally. That's
which
like...
I didn't know he was like so big. This whole like I didn't know it was popular. Like you know about.
I even think it might be even generational. Like, it might be a new grave.
Well, I think he did say, like, 25 years or something. Yeah. Like, they were, like, or longer, like, they were doing it. So. So, it was, if you ever go to a Monster Jam, just know.
I did go to one when I was a kid.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
When I was a kid.
In Canada?
And I want to think I saw a Gravedigger, but I'm not sure. That might be a Mandela memory or whatever that's called.
Yeah. Mandela?
The Mandela effect.
What?
Yeah. What's that?
The Gravedigger?
Yeah, well, to answer your question, it looks like the years active for the Gravedigger in 1982.
Yeah, see.
Oh, wow.
Undertaker started in 1987, so predates Undertaker.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're not scripted. It seems to be like a medieval times type situation.
Wait, medieval times is not scripted either?
Yeah, medieval times is scripted.
It's like scripted, but they just kind of like rehearse and just see how things play out.
But they don't choose. I'm gonna win today. It's not like wrestling where like we're gonna win.
I imagine there is times where you're mailing it in though. You're showing up hungover.
Like,
I want to go on early.
I never been to the medieval thing. Is that cool?
Well, I was gonna say to you, you know, we were gonna talk about like some of the clubs and how things change.
Yeah.
Like even there's some clubs that I just played that I haven't played for 3 years,
in
and
England,
I always found them to be very different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the medieval. Times thing that reminds me because I did that when I was a kid and I was here on holiday with my family.
Uh-huh. Like you went to it, you didn't do it.
No, I didn't do it. No. I'm like, I mean,
which by the way, you could actually, you have the hair to be like a, your eye, like you're like a king, like a prince.
I don't even know how.
I
can't get around horses. I don't.
You don't like horses?
Well, the riding of horses weirds me out. I don't.
What are you talking about?
People who love riding on horses, they're always like, they love it. Yeah. And I look at a horse and I'm like, I don't see how this thing can be loving this. How can any horse? Oh, I love it. I love it when humans are on me. And yet everybody who rides horses is like, oh, yeah, it's what they're meant to do.
No.
I'm like,
well, that's true.
What
I don't.
Fucking animal. It's like, I'm born for this. Yeah. Get on my back.
That's true.
Kick me in the sides a lot.
Yeah.
Kick me in the sides, I'll go faster. They're not going faster because they're loving you kicking them in the sides. They're going faster because they're like, when we get to this destination, are you going to get the fuck off of me?
That's true. I did. My aunt back in Venezuela had a farm, you know, and like she had horses and stuff like that. And like, well, two things. When you do get to a point where you get a horse, because I would sometimes get like different horses. So like some day they didn't know how to ride. And then the ones that knew how to gallop, those are like when I got into one that it was like that was the best feeling of like really, I'm like, because it's the galloping of like, You know, yeah. when you get into that, you know, you're going like this, and the horse knows how to, like, yeah. it's like flowing. It's like nice. Because I remember I had one where it was like just.
But
like
you're
this.
Trying to tell me that
it's
the
like
horse
this
loved
the whole
it.
Time, and it actually cracked my ass. I had to like. Ooh. Like it was like no, yeah, because it was like I was like
it's
I don't
like an
know.
Anxious, yeah, like fucking, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which so I was like, you want to get the nice ones that know how to gallop, but yeah, all of them they're always we always left like the stable, you know, the stables, whatever, and then go around the farm, and then as soon as we start turning back, man, you had to hold them because they just wanted to go like
right.
They were like, and I remember I fell off a horse because I remember I was going like this. And it started going so fast that I fell. Luckily, nothing happened. Yeah. And then, you know, I got up. And then I wasn't another
so
time.
My theory could it's be true. Correct. Like, no, they're true. Not meant to carry us around.
No, of course not. I mean, that's just a human
It's what
thing.
Every horse lover tells me. Like, oh, but they love it. Yeah, it's where they're meant to be. I'm like, I don't.
No, yeah. no. I was just saying it's nice to ride one horse, but it's not. Yeah, I don't yeah. think they're. Nobody's meant to be ridden. You know?
Right. Yeah, all I wanted to say, though, the way your memory changes and stuff, because I went to medieval times. I didn't participate. I went to medieval times when I was probably 12 on holiday here, and it was one of my favorite nights out.
Really?
Yeah, like when we cheered for whatever our
were you wearing like your King James outfit or something? Like, were you a fan of like the Renaissance or something?
No, not at all. It's just, this is, it doesn't, you know.
No, I would just say, like, it was just one night. Like, you're not, like, a huge fan of it.
Yeah, no, you're 12 years old. wait a minute, I don't understand.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's kind of like, no, I'm just saying, you're not, you like, you went just once. You weren't, like, just like, I'm a huge fan. I got posters of medieval times.
Yeah,
like,
no.
You were, like, you no. didn't go wear the hat and like, that.
Oh, I probably bought stuff. Whatever, you're on holiday. Yeah, you're 12 years old. You go to medieval times.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was one of my favorite nights when I was on this family holiday,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I was this little kid. So yeah, probably bought everything, mm-hmm. loved it. You're eating with your hands.
Yeah,
you eat
yeah.
the food with your hands. You're like, there's no rules. It just feels, it's just awesome.
Yeah,
your
yeah
dad
yeah.
might have got a bit drunk. You know, family's getting funny.
Yeah.
Did great
you,
night
did you, and you,
and
you,
then,
you fucked up.
At 12 years old?
I don't know. That's what they did back then.
wait a minute.
I thought,
where are you going with this?
Like, I don't know. Were you a king? I don't know, like.
Oh, I think my sister was like the princess or okay. somebody becomes something. Or yeah, all that stuff. But all I wanted to say was I've also been to Medieval Nights probably about 5 years ago
uh-huh.
with friends.
And you're like, ugh.
As an adult.
Yeah.
And I was very much like, oh my God.
This sucks.
I wish I had never come back here because I have such fond memories of when I was a little kid stumbling
yeah.
on this.
And now it's just like it's not
yeah.
fun.
Yeah. Like, yeah, when I was a kid and you come here for a holiday, you know, we did the things. We did Disney and Universal, and I think Medieval Nights was
well, it's like
probably
watching
my
movies.
Favorite night.
Yeah, it's like watching movies when you were like, I remember the other day I watched Austin Powers, and, you know, like one
right.
of my favorite movies growing up, and I was like, eh. You know, there were a lot of things where I was like, okay, this is not that as yeah. funny as I thought it was.
I thought this was a lot better.
It was a lot better back in that
yeah.
era. You know, like... Obviously, like, it was definitely, like, a early 2000 kind of, like, or 90s, early 2000, like,
yeah.
decade, you know, kind of, like, movie. So yeah. a lot of the jokes are very, like, in that era, and you're like, okay, you know. But yeah, it's kind of like that. You see stuff, you're like, yeah, it wasn't as good as I thought it was.
Really good comic, Forrest Shaw. He and I, we just did some shows together, and I can't remember where we were, but we were somewhere. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we were in Arizona. We were in Arizona and then Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
But John Candy movies were on all weekend.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw that last weekend. There was a couple channels that just played all these John Candy mm-hmm. movies. And I started to realize, I think it's really clear jokes that I didn't understand mm-hmm. when I was a kid. Because I still liked John Candy
well,
when
movies
I was younger,
are good.
But
yeah,
I just didn't get how, the adult. That's what I was talking about before Shaw, but there's some serious adult mm-hmm. content in here, especially in Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
It's very, and you're like, wow, it all just goes over your head when you're like 14, 15 years old.
You
think everything's kind of goofy.
Yeah.
And then you see it in a different light when you're older. And so that must work for other things, like in the opposite. Like, I thought this was awesome when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It's a pile of shit.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I think we're almost at that time, but I think we're back.
Important revelations. You got any?
No, I mean, well, I think definitely now that we're back, we're gonna definitely now bring again more guests. We're gonna now we got Bobby in the team, so he's gonna be helping us, you know, basically, you know, put our stuff out, you know, like, you know, so people can hear it more. And, you know, as always, you know, subscribe to the podcast, you know, follow us on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok.
Send us your requests. Send us your complaints as well, because, you know, we started this podcast to talk about travel.
Yeah.
Francisco and I just love to riff and everything. But I mean, lots of travel related things did happen. Like my luggage did get lost.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I flew from England into Austin, my bags. It was crazy because there were staff shortages.
So
I borrowed shirts. I went to Vegas instead of LA because I was working in Vegas like two nights later.
Yeah.
So I visited comedian Jason Rouse in Austin, then flew straight to Vegas, borrowed t-shirts.
From Jason Rouse?
I borrowed t-shirts from a friend of Jason Rouse's who has a dojo club. So I was wearing mixed martial arts shirts. Oh. I'm the least mixed martial arts guy in the world, but I'm like wearing these mixed martial arts fighting shirts on a stage in Vegas.
Like, people are going like, that dojo kind of sucks.
Yeah. Like, and then my bag got delivered to me like about 5 days after I arrived back in LA.
Oh, wow.
But eventually, I mean, we love stories like that. So if you guys listening at home, tell us
questions you have from us, anything that you or any guests that you also want us to maybe interview, we can get it. That'd be great. Or ask him questions, and that'll be great too. But yeah, please send us DMs. You know, or write us a comment, or you know, tweets and stuff like that, and we'll tackle all those inquiries and questions next time we do it.
Yep.
So we're back.
Back, baby.
Bye, Aloo.